Book 3, Chapter 9, How Joppa Was Taken, and Tiberius Delivered Up. 1. Now Vespasian returned to Ptolemais on the fourth day of the month Panemus, Tammuz, and from thence he came to Caesarea, which lay by the seaside. This was a very great city of Judea, and for the greatest part inhabited by Greeks. The citizens here received both the Roman army and its generals, with all sorts of acclamations and rejoicings, and this partly out of the goodwill they bore to the Romans, but principally out of the hatred they bore to those that were conquered by them, on which account they came clamoring against Josephus in crowds, and desired he might be put to death. But Vespasian passed over this petition concerning him, as offered by the injudicious multitude, with a bare silence. Two of the legions he also placed at Caesarea, that they might there take their winter quarters, as perceiving the city very fit for such a purpose. But he placed the tenth and the fifth at Scythopolis, that he might not distress Caesarea with the entire army. This place was warm even in winter, as it was suffocating hot in the summertime, by reason of its situation in a plain and near the Sea of Galilee. 2. In the meantime, there were gathered together as well such as the seditiously had got out from among their enemies, as those that had escaped out of the demolished cities, which were in all a great number, and repaired Joppa, which had been left desolate by Cestius, that it might serve them for a place of refuge, and because the adjoining region had been laid waste in the war, and was not capable of supporting them, they determined to go off to sea. They also built themselves a great many piratical ships, and turned pirates upon the seas near to Syria, and Phoenicia, and Egypt, and made those seas unnavigable to men. Now as soon as Vespasian knew of their conspiracy, he sent both footmen and horsemen to Joppa, which was unguarded in the night time. However, those that were in it perceived that they should be attacked, and were afraid of it. Yet did they not endeavor to keep the Romans out, but fled to their ships, and lay at sea all night, out of the reach of their darts. 3. Now Joppa is not naturally a haven, for it ends in a rough shore, where all the rest of it is straight, but the two ends bend towards each other, where there are deep precipices, and great stones that jut out into the sea, and where the chains wherewith Andromeda was bound have left their footsteps, which attest to the antiquity of that fable. But the north wind oppresses and beats upon the shore, and dashes mighty waves against the rocks which receive them, and renders the haven more dangerous than the country they had deserted. Now as those people of Joppa were floating about in this sea, in the morning there fell a violent wind upon them. It is called by those that sail there the black north wind, and there dashed their ships one against another, and dashed some of them against the rocks, and carried many of them by force, while they strove against the opposite waves, into the main sea. For the shore was so rocky, and had so many of the enemy upon it, that they were afraid to come to land. Nay, the waves rose so very high, that they drowned them. Nor was there any place whither they could fly, nor any way to save themselves, while they were thrust out of the sea, by the violence of the wind, if they stayed where they were, and out of the city by the violence of the Romans. And much lamentation there was when the ships were dashed against one another, and a terrible noise when they were broken to pieces. And some of the multitude that were in them were covered with waves, and so perished. And a great many were embarrassed with shipwrecks. But some of them thought that to die by their own swords was lighter than by the sea, and so they killed themselves before they were drowned, although the greatest part of them were carried by the waves, and dashed to pieces against the abrupt parts of the rocks, insomuch that the sea was bloody a long way, and the maritime parts were full of dead bodies. For the Romans came upon those that were carried to the shore, and destroyed them, and the number of the bodies that were thus thrown out of the sea was 4,200. The Romans also took the city without opposition, and utterly demolished it. 4. And thus Joppa taken twice by the Romans in a little time, but Vespasian, in order to prevent these pirates from coming thither any more, erected a camp there, where the citadel of Joppa had been, and left a body of horse in it, with a few footmen, that these last might stay there and guard the camp, and the horsemen might spoil the country that lay round it, and might destroy the neighboring villages and smaller cities. So these troops overran the country, as they were ordered to do, and every day cut to pieces and laid desolate the whole region. 5. But now, when the fate of Jotapata was related at Jerusalem, a great many at the first disbelieved it, on account of the vastness of the calamity, and because they had no eyewitness to attest the truth of what was related about it. For not one person was saved to be a messenger of that news, but a fame was spread abroad at random that the city was taken, as such fame usually spreads bad news about. However, the truth was known by degrees, from places near Jotapata, and appeared to all to be too true. Yet there were fictitious stories added to what was really done, for it was reported that Josephus was slain at the taking of the city, which piece of news filled Jerusalem full of sorrow. In every house also, and among all to whom any of the slain were allied, there was a lamentation for them, but the mourning for the commander was a public one, and some mourned for those that had lived with them, others for their kindred, others for their friends, and others for their brethren. But all mourned for Josephus, insomuch that the lamentation did not cease in the city before the 30th day, and a great many hired mourners, with their pipes, who should begin the melancholy ditties for them. Footnote. These public mourners, hired upon the supposed death of Josephus, and the real death of many more, illustrate some passages in the Bible, which suppose the same custom, as Matthew 11, verse 17, where the reader may consult the notes of Grotius. End footnote. 6. But as the truth came out in time, it appeared how the affairs of Jotapata really stood. Yet as it was found that the death of Josephus was a fiction, and when they understood that he was alive and was among the Romans, and that the commanders treated him at another rate than they treated captives, they were as vehemently angry at him now as they had showed their goodwill before, when he appeared to have been dead. He was also abused by some as having been a coward, and by others as a deserter, and the city was full of indignation at him, and of reproaches cast upon him. Their rage was also aggravated by their afflictions, and more inflamed by their ill success, and what usually becomes of an occasion of caution to wise men, I mean affliction, became a spur to them to venture on further calamities, and the end of one misery became still the beginning of another. They therefore resolved to fall on the Romans the more vehemently, as resolving to be revenged on him in revenging themselves on the Romans. And this was the state of Jerusalem as to the troubles which now came upon it. 7. But Vespasian, in order to see the kingdom of Agrippa, while the king persuaded him so to do, partly in order to his treating the general and his army in the best and most splendid manner his private affairs would enable him to do, and partly that he might, by their means, correct such things as were amiss in his government, he removed from Caesarea, which was by the seaside, and went to that which is called Caesarea Philippi. Footnote. Of this Caesarea Philippi, twice mentioned in our New Testament, Matthew 16, verse 13, Mark 8, verse 27, there are coins still extant. Spanheim here informs us. End footnote. And there he refreshed his army for 20 days, and was himself feasted by King Agrippa, where he also returned public thanks to God for the good success he had had in his undertakings. But as soon as he was informed that Tiberius was fond of innovations, and that Tarchere had revolted, both these cities were a part of the kingdom of Agrippa, and was satisfied within himself that the Jews were everywhere perverted from their obedience to their governors, he thought it seasonable to make an expedition against these cities, and that for the sake of Agrippa, and in order to bring his cities to reason. So he sent away his son Titus to the other Caesarea, that he might bring the army that lay there to Seithopaus, which is the largest city of Decapolis, and in the neighborhood of Tiberias, whither he came, and where he waited for his son. He then came with 3 legions, and pitched his camp 30 furlongs off Tiberias, at a certain station easily seen by the innovators. It is named Cenobris. He also sent Valerian, a decurion, with 50 horsemen, to speak peaceably to those that were in the city, and to exhort them to give him assurances of their fidelity. For he had heard that the people were desirous of peace, but were obliged by some of the seditious part to join with them, and so were forced to fight for them. When Valerian had marched up to the place, and was near the wall, he alighted off his horse, and made those that were with him to do the same, that they might not be thought to come to skirmish with them. But before they could come to a discourse one with another, the most potent men among the seditious made a sally upon them armed. Their leader was one whose name was Jesus, the son of Shaphat, the principal head of a band of robbers. Now Valerian, neither thinking it safe to fight contrary to the commands of the general, though he were secure of a victory, and knowing that it was very hazardous undertaking for a few to fight with many, for for those that were unprovided to fight those that were ready, and being on other accounts surprised at this unexpected onset of the Jews, he ran away on foot, as did five of the rest in like manner, and left their horses behind them, which horses Jesus led away into the city, and rejoiced as if they had taken them in battle, and not by treachery. 8. Now the seniors of the people, and such as were a principal authority among them, fearing what would be the issue of this matter, fled to the camp of the Romans. They then took their king along with them, and fell down before Vespasian, to supplicate his favor, and besought him not to overlook them, nor to impute the madness of a few to the whole city, to spare a people that had been ever civil and obliging to the Romans, but to bring the authors of this revolt to due punishment, who had hitherto so watched them, that though they were zealous to give them the security of their right hands of a long time, yet could they not accomplish the same. With these supplications the general complied, although he were very angry at the whole city about the carrying off his horses, and this because he saw that Agrippa was under a great concern for them. So when Vespasian and Agrippa had accepted their right hands by way of security, Jesus and his party thought it not safe for them to continue at Tiberias. So they ran away to Terracete. The next day Vespasian sent Trajan before with some horsemen to the citadel to make trial of the multitude, whether they were disposed for peace. And as soon as he knew that the people were of the same mind with the petitioner, he took his army and went to the city, upon which the citizens opened to him their gates and met him with acclamations of joy and called him their savior and benefactor. But as the army was a great while in getting in at the gates, they were so narrow. Vespasian commanded the south wall to be broken down, and so made a broad passage for their entrance. However, he charged them to abstain from rapine and injustice, in order to gratify the king, and on his account spared the rest of the wall, while the king undertook for them that they should continue faithful to the Romans for the time to come. And thus did he restore the city to a quiet state, after it had been grievously afflicted by the sedition.